My name is Sophie Salem. I'm 15 years old. Today is December 15th, 2019, and I'm speaking with my dad, Morris Salem. We are in Santa Monica, California, and it is 7:01 p.m. So can you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
So I was born in Tehran, Iran, and I went to school there for the first, until I was about 10 or so. And after that, that was right in the middle of the revolution that happened in Iran. We were forced to flee and come to the United States.
What is your fondest memory as a child?
We were members at a country club that was somewhat of an unusual country club because it was kind of like a Jewish country club, but not exclusively a Jewish country club.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time there. And this is a country club with tons of activities, tons and tons. So all my friends were there. We would eat there. We would swim there all summer. We just had a tremendous time.
Okay. Can you tell me about your relationship with your parents as a child?
Yeah, I was very close to my mother. My father worked a lot, so I didn't get to see him so much. And he traveled quite a bit. But I was very close to my mom. She was more of a stay-at-home mom. And we were very close. I could tell her anything. That's my recollection.
Today, do you think your relationship with them has worsened or strengthened?
I think in some ways it's strengthened, and other ways it's worsened for a variety of different reasons.
And has your relationship with your parents as a child and now changed who you are?
Oh, it definitely changed who I am. You know, my parents, my mom specifically, was very, very supportive. Anything that I wanted to do, and she always made sure that I got my homework done, always made sure that I got the help that I needed to get my homework done. She got me speed reading classes when I was young, and that, I think, really, really helped me kind of get ahead in school. She always pushed me to be my best, and she was always there. She was always there for me. She always was supportive. If I needed help with anything, she was always there. So it was a very, very positive relationship. One of the things that was a little bit of a complicating factor, a little bit kind of later in my childhood, is I have an autistic brother. And I was born when he was about 3 years old, and he subsequently spent a fair amount of time in a boarding school, and mm-hmm. So he wasn't living with us. And so I had my parents quite a bit to myself. But right around age 7 or 8 is when we kind of started to think about that this is not the best situation for him, and he started taking up a lot more of my parents' time. So that really changed my relationship with my parents. It made me kind of be a lot more self-sufficient and a lot more mature, forced me to grow up very quickly.
Do you think he has affected who you are?
Absolutely, absolutely. Every family member affects every member of the family. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and do you have any major regrets as a child?
I don't know that I would say that I have any regrets. I think, you know, I grew up in an era where things were the way they were. You know, you didn't have so many choices. You kind of did what was there, and you took what was there. You ate the food that was there. You went on the vacation that you went on. You didn't really, you know, you didn't complain. I wouldn't say that I have any regrets. Growing up, of course, I wish that my brother was not autistic and that I could have a relationship with him. But and my parents would be around more, But mm-hmm. other than that, I would say not really. I don't think I'd say I have regrets.
How did you feel growing up, being able to, having to mature so fast because you had an autistic brother and you were left alone most of the time?
So I didn't know any different. When you don't know any different, you think that that's the way everything is. So as a young kid, I did not know any different. I didn't know that there was another way of that things occurred. So it really wasn't something that I thought about, really wasn't something that bothered me. I think when I started to get a little bit older, when I was about 13 or 14 is when it really kind of hit me, like, hey, wait a second. This is just not normal. This is not the way most people function.
So you saw other kids and wondered why their lives were different than yours?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's my recollection is right around 13 or 14 is when I started thinking, how come I have to do all this stuff and how come I have an autistic brother and I have to kind of live in a household where we have specialized foods and all that when none of my other friends seem to have the same thing.
Did you ever feel angry that you had to grow up this way?
Yeah, I did feel angry. Like right around, I think, 14, mm-hmm. maybe 15 is when I started feeling angry. So I realized it was unusual right around 13 or 14. And then maybe around 15 is when I started to kind of get upset and be angry that this is the life that I was born into.
Yeah. Did growing up this way motivate you to turn your life around as an adult?
I think it probably did. It's hard to know most of the time what specifically kind of motivates you to do anything, but I think the whole picture of my life is what kind of motivated me to do everything, not just one thing. So it was kind of living in Iran, being forced to escape the country, and you know, when it was very clear that we were in grave danger. How we escaped was also quite a story, but we were in a lot of danger. It wasn't very simple or easy to leave the country. I can tell you a little bit about how that happened. When the revolution happened in Iran, it was somewhat of a bloody revolution. There was mm-hmm. The Shah, who was the monarch that was ruling the country for a very, very long time, was overthrown in a revolution with these young college age students who used weapons and guns, and there was quite a bit of bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
Until they Shah escaped the country, and then the new government, the revolutionary government, took over. I think a lot of people remember that there were American hostages taken mm-hmm. right around that time, yeah. And so that was kind of the way the new revolutionary government functioned. But I specifically remember we were there was a lot of gunfire. People were shooting guns everywhere, and we lived in a high rise, and in order to kind of stay away from the windows, we actually slept on the floor and in the middle of the house, as far away from the windows as we could, because there were bullets that had hit the building randomly. Yeah. I remember at that time the borders were closed, so no one could really escape the country. No one could leave the country. And if you left, there had to be a darn good reason. And you had to prove it, and you had to get permits from the government. You had to prove that you're actually going to come back. You had to leave a deposit with lots and lots and lots of money, proving that you're going to come back. And in general, they didn't let entire families leave
mm-hmm.
because they felt that if the whole family left, that they were not going to come back.
Yeah.
So they would let one or two members leave and keep the rest of that in the country. we were lucky in that we had met some people through actually my brother, my autistic brother, who were very powerful in the new revolutionary government. Mm-hmm. And they actually ended up having their own autistic child. And so that was fortuitous. But my mother, as kind of the English-speaking person there, really kind of put together a group of these parents with autistic kids, and was able to convince this father who was very high up in the new revolutionary government to get us permits so that we could all travel outside of the country to get medical help for all the autistic mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah.
So he actually was a wonderful man. He and I remember he was very kind and he understood kind of what it meant that to need medical attention, and he understood that that attention could not be provided in Iran. So he basically took all the passports and got all the clearances and took care of it for, I think we had about 7 different families.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to kind of clear the road through a very, very, very complicated and closed border and security system to allow us to leave the country.
Mm-hmm. Are you in any way traumatized from escaping just your childhood altogether?
I don't think I can use that term, traumatized, but I would say it was an interesting time. And I would say maybe I didn't know any better. Yeah. I just kind of went with the flow. But what I would say is it really kind of opened my eyes up to the world to see kind of like what the world was about and how mean and how evil people can be and how complicated even the simplest situation can be. Something like traveling is not so easy, not so mm-hmm. simple. And that, there, you know, at the same time, it also showed me that there's a lot of good people in this world.
Yeah.
And not just bad people.
Can you clearly remember being in such danger?
I remember being afraid when we were sleeping on the floor. I remember kind of thinking, well, what does this mean? Why are we sleeping on the floor? And I kind of knew that we were sleeping on the floor because they were shooting guns and bullets were dangerous. But I do remember being scared. I do remember, I remember one day I was in school and paratroopers parachuted into the schoolyard and set up barricades and set up their positions
mm-hmm.
As we were running into the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those also aha moments that kind of said, well, wait a second, there's something very, very wrong here.
How do you think your childhood has affected who you are today?
Well, it's shown me that you don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You work hard at whatever you do. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's washing the dishes versus, you know, doing some major project at work or patching up the wall. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to reach in to your bag of tools and use every single avenue you can, every single lead, every single knowledge, ask people questions, get help as much as you can to complete the task.
Yeah. So you came to America and you turned your life around. Are you proud of what you made of it?
Yeah, I am. I think, you know, when we came to this country, we had no money. We were poor. We had nothing. We had no home. We had only the clothes on our back. We had no furniture. We had no no toys, no books, no nothing. We just had what we had in 2 suitcases. That was the sum total of how we came to this country. And we had maybe $5,000. And that was it. And that's basically to set up an entire new life, get a place to live, eat, get a car, everything had to come from that $5,000. That is not a whole lot of money when you're moving halfway around the world and are in an unfamiliar environment.
Yeah. In which ways do you feel your life has changed? Like, you've gone from the bottom and you've worked your way up. How have you changed it?
Well, one thing that you quickly realize is that education is not optional. Mm-hmm. It is something that is critical. It's something that you cherish. It's something that you crave. It's something that you need to mm-hmm. get you the basic necessities of life. I never thought that I was going to get to where I am today.
Yeah.
All I knew is that I needed to work hard and I needed to get the best education that I could. And whichever way that education led me to, that's where I would go.
Yeah. Are you happy with your life?
Very happy. Very happy. I think I'm at a place in my life where I have a great family. I'm professionally very successful and secure. Yeah. I have a lot to look forward to. I'm not done doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of different projects that are I have now and will have in the upcoming years.
Yeah, and what part of your childhood is your favorite to tell others?
I think one of my best memories is the time we spent at the Caspian Sea. We had a home. We had a summer home in the Caspian Sea, and it was very close to the beach. It wasn't on the beach, but very close to the beach. And I remember we used to go there quite a bit. And this was a 5-6 hour drive up a very, very steep mountain range to get over to the other side where the Caspian Sea was. And I remember that was just a phenomenal time in my childhood.
Do you like telling your childhood story?
Well, I don't mind telling childhood stories. I don't know that I like it or dislike it. I don't mind, but I just don't remember a whole lot. I think mm-hmm. a lot of the memories I either forgot or for whatever reason I'm repressing.
Yeah.
So I don't have a ton of memories.
Mm-hmm. Are you at all grateful for the horrible experiences you went through as a child?
Yeah, I think part of the adversity that I grew up with is what shaped me. And
mm-hmm.
and kind of gave me the drive to get to where I am today. Nothing scares me.
Yeah.
Nothing can put me down. Nothing can slow me down. And I can exist with a t-shirt and flip-flops and the simplest of foods.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I could be happy with a very luxurious lifestyle. But
yeah.
I have that range, and living through that adversity in my childhood allowed me to be able to function in both those scenarios equally.
Yeah. Who do you think you'd be without those experiences?
I think I'd be very average and very mediocre and you know, maybe have just a boring job and you know, not have an impact on the future. I think adversity really shapes who you are as a person mm-hmm. and really helps to shape your goals in the future.
Do you feel you are making an impact on the future?
Absolutely, yeah.
In which ways?
When I decided to go into medicine, my goal was to have an impact
mm-hmm.
and to really kind of affect people's lives in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I never envisioned at that time that I was going to kind of get into the very small niche specialty that I'm in right now, where I'm really able to kind of make a lot of difference and take somebody's life from being very, very complicated and poor and in and out of the hospital into someone who's functioning essentially normally.
You do really change lives.
I hope so.
Do you think your story is important to tell?
I think everybody's story is important to tell. I think everybody has a worthwhile... So I do think that everybody has a story, and some people's stories are more complicated and have lots of ins and outs and maybe are a little bit more exciting, and some people's stories are not so exciting. But I think everybody has a story to tell, and everybody has a story that is unique, and everybody has a story that has meaning, at least to them. And I think everybody's stories should be heard.
Is there something you hope people can learn from your childhood story?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from my childhood, and I hope this is a lesson that my kids will follow, and I hope this is a lesson that a lot of people will follow. And that lesson is basically, you don't give up, mm-hmm. you never give up,
mm-hmm.
you never lose hope. The sun will come up tomorrow, always. And no matter what happens, you could have the worst day in your life today, but the sun's still gonna come up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And not only is the sun gonna come up tomorrow, it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself. Every day is an opportunity to reinvent and redo and rethink, and an opportunity to have an impact.
Yeah. When you think back to your childhood, does your mindset change at all? Are you more determined at all?
I think my childhood certainly impacted who I've become, but I don't know that I consciously reach back yeah. and think about it mm-hmm. anymore. I think part of kind of what my life has taught me is to don't look back, look forward. And mm-hmm. so maybe that's kind of one of the reasons why I do that, is trying not to look backwards, not to look inwards, but to look outwards and forward and plan for the future and plan for the best.
Is it hard to look back and remember the difficult things you've gone through? Do you avoid it?
I don't avoid it, but it's, I think it's something that is kind of slows me down and can really kind of bog you down if you sit down and you think about it too much.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's productive, and I don't know that it's going to help anything. But from time to time, memories do pop up. We're all humans, and your memory kind of works in mysterious ways. You see something, you smell something, you walk by something, a particular color, particular voice that you hear can trigger an old memory. But
yeah.
for the most part, I don't feel that like I need to reach back to
yeah.
propel me into the future. I just kind of look forward to the future.
It's a good way to look. So going back to your life in Iran, did you experience any severe racism?
So it's very interesting. Iran, as you know, is a overwhelmingly Muslim country. Something like 99% or 98% are actually Muslim. Very small percentage of Jewish people, very small percentage of other types of religion, like Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it is a Muslim country. And part of the whole premise of this revolution was that, again, that these minorities were... part of the problem, part of what they did not like, and part of the reason why they overthrew the king. So I became aware of racism and exceptionalism very early on, that, you know, I was different, and this is part of the reason why I couldn't be part of the mainstream.
Yeah.
Which is what really forced us to kind of leave the country and move out.
So they didn't accept you?
Well, we were foreigners. I think we were always foreigners, and it became very clear. I think growing up, most people, regardless of their race or religion, or what their background was, felt very, very comfortable because the country was very open and very accepting, and there wasn't a whole lot of segregation. And so that's how I grew up, thinking, mm-hmm. you know, I'm no different than anybody else. But when the revolution happened, it became very clear that all the different ethnic groups, if they were not Muslim, were part of the problem. And mm-hmm. We specifically knew that we were being targeted.
So as a young kid, did you see acts of violence firsthand?
I don't know that I remember seeing violence firsthand. I do remember seeing lots of people walking around with guns. I remember hearing lots of gunfire, mm-hmm. But I didn't see bloodshed. Yeah. With my own eyes. You saw it on TV and you saw it in the news, but I did not personally witness any.
Did you worry that you'd see it firsthand?
I think I was curious what it would look like. At that, you know, I don't know that I was afraid of it, but I didn't really have much of an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hope you or wish you were in a safer country?
So growing up in Iran used to be very, very safe, incredibly safe. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a small child, I was not worried about anything.
Yeah.
Now we had a little bit of a kind of a different living situation because we traveled a lot. So we were in Europe quite a bit. We went back and forth from Iran to Europe. So at a very early age, I was exposed to the European lifestyle and how, quote unquote, the developed world lived and kind of what the people were like and the different languages. So I was always exposed to that from an early age.
Yeah.
And I think in my mind, I always thought that someday I would certainly for school go abroad and get my education abroad because there was no such thing as advanced higher education in Iran.
As a kid, did you ever prefer that more developed lifestyle, or did it never really occur to you that it was different or better in some ways?
It didn't occur to me. I don't know that I preferred it because I had access to both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think had it been taken away from me and I only had one or the other, I think I would miss it. But
yeah.
In retrospect, I certainly preferred the European lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So if you could go back in time, what would you change about your childhood and why? And would this be positive or negative?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I think, you know, because rationally, I don't think that you can go back in time. And rationally, I don't think that even if you could go back in time, that you could change things mm-hmm. that would ultimately impact the future. But hypothetically, if I could go back in time and change things, probably the one thing that I would change is to not have an autistic brother and to... Yeah. Everything else I think I would leave alone, but mm-hmm. I would prefer to not have an autistic brother and I don't know how that would impact who I am today. Part of me thinks that it wouldn't be too terribly different, but I'm sure it would be
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape or form different. And you know, I'm a believer that you have to put in the work before you can see the fruits of that the work, and all the hard things I went through in life are the reason why I'm here today and where I am today.
Yeah.
So if you take one component of that out of the equation, then it's going to change the ultimate equation and it's not going to look the same.
Yeah. Well, thank you for meeting with me. I learned a lot.
You're welcome.